I'm going to start this sermon. It's going to be a little bit different, okay? You guys okay with different? All right. Close your eyes. We're going straight to the altar call. No, I'm just kidding. Close your eyes, and I just want you to picture a place that looks peaceful. A place, maybe it's somewhere you've been before. Just some place where you're like, that place is peaceful. If you, maybe you've never been somewhere peaceful, then picture what you think that would look like. And just look at your surroundings for just a moment. Just look around and think about the things that you're seeing, okay? For some of you, this is going to be a beach. If you've been to the ocean, you might be thinking of a beach. And maybe you're seeing things like this beautiful sunset with this array of colors that you've never really seen put together before. And you can hear those waves crashing on the shore. And for some reason, it's just kind of peaceful to hear those waves. You can hear the birds chirping as they fly by. And you can feel that gentle breeze kind of blowing back and forth. And maybe you're eating your favorite snack, just lounging in a chair. And if you think real hard, maybe you can almost taste that, what that snack is like. You think about the kids. They're not bothering you right now. They're off in the distance, right? They're playing catch with a football or something. And it's just a peaceful place. There's no fighting or screaming. You're at peace. You feel at rest. And it's like, who would want to leave this atmosphere? Who would want to leave what they're experiencing right here, right now? And then all of a sudden, bam, you got hit in the head with that football. Open your eyes, all right? I mean, think about being in that place of peace, right? This place of peace. And once you got hit in the head with that football, it's like your peace is gone, right? Some of you lost your cool. Some of you, if you catch that kid, you're going to jail, right? Like your own, even if it's your own kid. It's like you've lost that peace. Something interrupted it. Something intervened and just ripped away that peace right out of your life, whatever it is. And when we think about what transpires after that, you might have a headache now. I mean, if you got hit real good, your head might hurt. All of that peace right now does not matter at all, because it's what you're experiencing seems to overwhelm it and overtake it. Did that peace go anywhere? Did the atmosphere go anywhere? Did the sunset leave? Did the shore or the waves crashing on the shore cease? Did the breeze stop blowing? Right? All those things are still there, but something disrupted your peace. Something took over the atmosphere and is like, no peace for you. You're going to focus on this disaster instead. We think about that peace. It seems temporary, right? It seems temporary because something happens that interrupts it and distracts us. The kind of peace that the world has to offer is temporary peace like that, right? It's where you're going to experience it for a while. Something's going to happen and it's going to be short-lived, okay? And like joy, like we talked about last week, peace from the world, peace that the world offers is based on circumstances. It's based on the fact that the kids are not in your ear screaming and they're in the distance. It's based on the fact that you probably are sitting there doing nothing and you're able to just chill out and check out and just enjoy nature. But it's based on what's happening right here, right now, right? But there's a peace that we can have that does not flee. Amen? Right? There's a peace that can be found in Jesus that does not flee, that does not leave when distraction comes. It does not subside whenever things happen in our lives. It's a peace that we can walk in continually because it's a peace that is produced by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, peace is godly contentment in spite of our circumstances. And in the deepest sense, these graces come from God and ultimately lead us back to God. That's what's amazing about peace is peace from God. He provides that peace for us, but ultimately that peace leads us right back to him. It's like kind of has like a mirror effect. And so before we can truly understand peace, I'm going to do this a little bit backwards today. Before we can understand it, we've got to know the weeds, right, that grow up and uprooted, because they choke out the peace in our lives. Okay? So Philippians 4, 6, and 7, you probably know this verse. Be anxious for nothing. Say nothing. Okay? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anybody in here ever quote that verse? Even if it's loosely and you don't know it word for word? We usually go right to the part about the peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Most of us, that's what we know from those two verses. I want that peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay, we'll take a step back. What does it say about it? Be anxious for nothing, right? But in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. This is where it starts. This is a command. It's not a request. It's not a, you know what, it will be easier if you are not anxious. You know what, I'll give you a good recommendation. Maybe don't be anxious, see how it works. No, it's a command. Do not be anxious. Don't do it. Don't harvest that weed of anxiety. See, when we operate in this state of anxiety, this is the state of distress or uneasiness that's caused in our mind ultimately by fear of something. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writes that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? How much time do we spend fearing what might happen, what could happen, right? If you were laying in that chair on the beach and the whole time you're looking over your shoulder thinking one of these times that kid's going to miss that ball and it's going to hit me in the head, listen, you wouldn't have had any peace. You wouldn't even have had the temporary peace. You would have had no part of it because the whole time you would have been anxious about that ball and like, those kids are getting closer to me and closer to me and where are their parents at? Or if they're your parents, you'd be yelling at them, get away from me. You're going to hit me with that ball. And there would be no peace. When we get in that mindset where we're fearing what might happen, this root of anxiety is fear. And fear is not from God, right? Fear is about the what ifs. How many of you get a bad case of the what ifs from time to time, right? That's fear that drives us there to those what ifs, right? There are so many uncertainties in life that it's useless to set our minds on those uncertainties. But yet we do it anyway. It's useless. It's not productive. It's not fruitful to set our mind on uncertain things that rarely play out the way we pictured them, that rarely even happen. The things that we're so fearful of don't often happen. I'll tell you, I for one, I am terrified, absolutely fearful of snakes, right? I am so scared of snakes, I don't even like to watch them on TV, okay? I know, it's probably a real problem that I have, but I'm so afraid of snakes. And I was thinking about it even this morning. I was like, why am I so afraid of snakes? What is it? Why do I have that fear? Is there anyone here that has been bitten by a snake? Okay, three people. Maybe my odds are not as good as I thought. Three people. Did any of you die? I see hands upstairs of people who apparently died. So we have a miracle in the building because they were resurrected from the dead. Praise the Lord for that. Why do I fear snakes so much? Right? Even with three people saying they've been bit by a snake, right? None of them died. They all made it through it. They all survived. Am I just afraid of them because they're creepy? Probably. I mean, they are pretty creepy animals. This fear comes, it becomes anxiety when we think about it and we think about worst case scenarios and they start running through our heads. And I get this way where I may be out in the woods and I'm enjoying nature and then I hear something in the leaves. I'm like, is that a snake, right? And now I'm not enjoying nature anymore. Now I'm not enjoying the trail I'm on. Now I'm thinking, how quickly can I get back? And is the snake behind me, right? The fear starts to settle in and all of a sudden my mind is completely off of what I was enjoying, and it's so fixated and focused on the fear that I'm not even enjoying what God's creation is anymore. Why do we do that? It's not like the snake's going to jump up and bite me and kill me. I mean, it could happen, right? Because all these things that we think about and we fixate on, they all could happen. Sure, that's why we think about them. But is it likely? Not really. I mean, the odds are not real high. And then I think about the truths of the Word of God, right? I know as I'm walking through those woods that my God is with me, right? Is, I mean, shouldn't that be enough that I'm like, I'm not going to be worried and terrified if a snake pops up, right? If he can protect Daniel in the lion's den, surely he can protect me from a snake that probably isn't poisonous and probably doesn't want anything to do with me any more than I do with it, right? If he can give David the strength to defeat a bear and a lion with his hands, surely he could give me like the speed of Elijah where he outran the chariot and I could outrun the snake, right? I mean, or if I get a hold of it, I could stop it from hurting me. I mean, this is the kind of God that I serve. And so why would I walk in fear? This is the kind of God that on the Sea of Galilee in this storm that most people would have been terrified of, right? The disciples, we kind of make the disciples sound like these bad guys because they were in this boat with Jesus and yet they were so afraid of the storm. That storm kills people, right? The storm in the Sea of Galilee, it's not like a little storm when you're on Lake Nellie, right? There's mountains around and it, like the way everything's set up, it's like, it's kind of like the place for the perfect storm. It's terrifying. People don't go on boats when there's a storm in the Sea of Galilee. And some of these guys, if you remember, were fishermen. They were scared. And they were fishermen. Why? Because they knew the power of those storms. And we're talking about a God that got up and said, be still. Storm, you're done with. It's over. You're not going to scare my friends anymore. I'm talking about a God that tells us that we don't have to fear because he's overcome the world, right? This is the God that we serve. Why should I fear? Why should I worry about things that may not ever even happen when that is who my God is and who is walking with me, right? I don't find my security in bad things not happening, okay? Because bad things do happen, right? If I just walk through there, I mean, we don't have to be stupid. I'm not going to, like, look at the snake and try to pet it, right? It might be poisonous. I don't know. The reason I don't use the bathroom in the woods is because I'm not real good about knowing what's poison and what's not. I don't want to have a situation that I really regret, okay? Okay, so if I don't have the knowledge, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to test God and be like, I'm going to pet this snake. It looks poisonous. You'll protect me, right? But at the same time, I don't find my security in these things not happening. I find my security in the presence of Jesus Christ, right? I find my security in his presence. That's where I find peace. We need to uproot fear and anxiety by making our requests known to God. Tell God your worries. How many of you tell people your worries? Tell God your worries. He's the one that can do something about it. He's the one that can actually calm your fears. He's the one that can actually uproot those fears if we'll allow him to. Tell God your worries. It's in the Word. We just read it. He says, tell him. Paul says, tell him your worries. Tell him your troubles. And the Word says that this is the place that we receive that peace. We think that we receive the peace in the worries and the fears just being gone. That's not true. We receive the peace in telling them to God, right? When we unload them to him, right? It may still be there, but in letting him know what burdens our heart, what's troubling to us, we receive his peace, right? He starts to work. He starts to interact and interject himself into the situation. God will give us that peace that surpasses all understanding, right? This is that peace that does not make sense to man. God will guard our hearts and minds, right? It's kind of like the weed killer, right? come and he's going to start to just tear that stuff out. He guards your heart and your mind from the anxieties overtaking you. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be gone like that, but he will guard them, guard your heart, guard your mind, where they will not be able to overtake you. Another weed that prevents peace is the works of the flesh. We talked about those in the introduction of this series in Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Talks about the works of the flesh, the things that we can produce in our lives on our own without God's intervention. These are the things that we produce. We looked at those and we decided those were all bad things. Those are not things we want to produce. Instead, we want the fruit of the Spirit produced in our lives. Just a few of those that are really weeds to the fruit of peace: contentions, jealousies, selfish ambitions, dissensions, envy. These are things that grow up in our lives, and these choke out peace because the enemy uses these things to distract us from what God is doing. The enemy uses these things where instead we start to compare ourselves to others, to what they have, to what they've done, even maybe what God has done in their life and what he hasn't done in mine. These things the enemy uses, and they cause us to focus not on our own lives even necessarily, and not on Jesus, but on the lives of someone else that has nothing to do with our own life and our own situation in most cases. And you know, we can always find somebody that has it better than us, right? I mean, no matter who we are, there's somebody in this world that has it better than what you do, okay? So if that's what we're going to focus on, you can go find it. You might be able to find it in this very room. If you can't go to lunch, you'll find it there. At some point, you'll find it. There will always be somebody that has more stuff. There will always be somebody that has a better family, a better relationship with their spouse, better kids, a better job, right? When we start the comparison, you'll always be able to find someone else that has things better and everything seems to go their way. And then we start to think, well, why them and not me, right? Why them and not me? I'll tell you what, there's no peace in that. There will be no peace in that, right? It's troubling to our minds and it's troubling to our hearts, and it begins to overtake us. It's a weed that grows up and chokes out peace. Peace cannot exist in our lives when we are found in that kind of mindset and those kinds of situations, right? It's an opponent to peace. Because in this mindset, Jesus is not enough for us. That's a hard truth, guys, but in that mindset, Jesus is not enough for us. We also need to have these things. We also need to have it as good as somebody else keeping up with the Joneses, whatever it is. And think about Paul in prison, right? Each time that Paul was in prison, he had peace, right? Each time it's recorded, we see the things that he does. And it's like he's praying, he's worshiping. I don't think it was the kind of prayer like me and you would probably pray in prison. We would be like, Lord, get me out of here. Like, we would be terrified. We'd be like, dude, Paul was like, I love you, Lord. I'm thankful I have you. What else do I need in this life? You can take everything from me. It doesn't matter. I need you and I have you. That's why he could worship in prison, right? Most of us wouldn't be worshiping in prison unless it's like, I called and you answered. Like, Lord, when are you going to answer? I'm calling, you're answering. Like, we're speaking it into existence. That's the kind of worship we might do in prison. What we saw with Paul and even with Silas when they were in there, they're worshiping God because of who he is, not because of what their circumstances are. They had peace even in times of trouble, even in times where things were not as they seemed. He had peace because he knew that peace was not in what he had or where he was at, but he had peace in who Jesus was and where he is at, right? Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Right? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven on a throne in victory and in power. Hallelujah. That ought to lead us to a little bit of peace right there. The Spirit of the living God has been released and unleashed on this earth and wants to dwell in you. Hallelujah. Okay, these are the areas where we find peace, even in times of trouble. And the third weed that chokes out peace is peace without God. Or we could say worldly peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. This is talking about the Lord, the day of the Lord, when Jesus returns. And this is talking about the people who are not the redeemed people. And they're calling out for peace and safety. They're looking for the peace and the safety of man. What can we do? What can we provide? How can we be safe? They're looking to men and to systems of the world for peace and safety from the wrath of God. Okay? And when they do this, they will not find peace. The word tells us they won't find it. They'll find destruction. Peace is tied to righteousness. Peace is tied to righteousness. I'm going to get into that here in just a moment. Just keep that nugget. This is not a new thing here where the unbeliever does not find peace. Jeremiah 6:14. But they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. He's saying there's a superficial healing that the people are receiving. There's a superficial peace. There's a superficial, like, rest that people are hearing, they're receiving, because they're hearing peace, peace, peace. But he says there is no peace because it's not in what man is telling you. It's not in what man is providing for you. It's only found in the living God. That's the only place that you can find this peace. And false peace is no peace at all. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Right? If we want to experience peace, we have to identify these things in our lives. We have to identify anxiety and worry and fear. And we've got to submit those to the Lord. We've got to get those out. Let him start to work in those areas. We've got to identify when we're operating in the works of the flesh that are opponents to peace. When we're operating in envy and strife and dissensions and all these things, when we're causing division, there's no peace in those things. We've got to identify those things, and we've got to give them to the Lord and ask him to work. And then we definitely have got to identify false peace that the world offers, right? It's just temporary. You'll be able to identify it because it won't last long. And you'll be like, what happened? What happened is it wasn't real. What happened is that wasn't real peace. That was that fake peace where they healed you slightly, like Jeremiah talked about. Just slightly. It's like putting a Band-Aid on and I feel good for a moment. It's kind of like putting that. Anybody ever use that new skin? Like the liquid Band-Aid? I put that on. If you have a cut that's too deep, that doesn't even last a minute. Right? If the cut's too, I mean, I tried it. I put like 17 layers on. It's like another one. And then you try to grab something and it's like it splits back open. That's kind of what that false peace is like. It's like you put on that new skin. It's not really new skin. It's just covers it up for a moment. It covers it up for just a moment to help you heal a little quicker. But it's just slightly. It's not a whole new thing. It's not a miracle. It's not a new hand. It's just a little bit of new skin, right? And so sometimes that false peace is like that. It's like that new skin. It might help for a moment, but I tell you what, if it's too deep of a cut, it's not going to really do much of anything. So we've got to look at these things, and these things will prevent you from bearing the fruit of the Spirit that is peace. Okay? Then we have this artificial fruit, okay? This artificial fruit, this human characteristic that we have. And this thing sure seems like peace at times because there's no worry, okay? There's no looking at others and seeing what they have compared to you. It seems like you're weed free. Praise God. You can be in this place. But we've got to look at this and decide, do we have real peace or is this an imposter? And I'm going to tell you what this imposter is. Some of you might be a little bit surprised. This artificial fruit is carelessness and apathy. That can seem like peace. You know why? Because you don't really care what's going on around you, so it doesn't really bother you, right? It can seem like false peace. It can seem like peace, but it is false peace. These are not characteristics of redeemed people. When you look in Ephesians chapter 4, you can read through that later. It's Paul's speaking of the new man, okay? And he's speaking of the new man. He's talking about what the Gentiles were like. And he's saying, this is who you were. Don't go back there. Like, you're a new man. You're a new creation. Don't go back. And one of the things that he says is he says, no longer walk like the Gentiles walk, who are past feeling. They're past feeling. They're numbed out. They're carefree. They don't care about anything. They're apathetic. It's like there's no passion or nothing. They're just kind of going through the motions. And he says, do not go back to that place. See, even believers can get here. He's talking about the Gentiles before they are believed. But even a believer can get here when we get to that place where we need rest, where we need a break from things. And I'm going to tell you, do you know that rest and peace are connected? Rest and peace are connected, right? What do we say when people pass away? Rest in peace. Like, rest in peace. They're connected. What about those who live? Do we not want them to rest in peace? Because peace is where we find rest. And when we're in rest, it's where we find peace. They're tied together because they're things that we can only find in Jesus Christ. They're things we can only find in Him. And so when you think about these things, this rest and this peace that we can only find in Christ, listen, we don't need a season or a time off of apathy. What we need is we need to remain in Christ. Okay? Me and Christy had this discussion yesterday. I don't know that God ever desires for us to have a time off from being a Christian. Okay? But there's a lot of Christians that they're like, I've been burnt, I've been hurt, like even like some of the people Cheryl was talking about. They've been hurt, and it's like, because I've been hurt, I'm going to take time off. I don't believe that that's the answer. The answer is, are you in Christ? Because Christ is the rest, and Christ is the peace. And I think so often we find ourselves, we're kind of drifting a little bit outside of Christ and operating in our own will, our own desires. And yes, we do get hurt. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. I'm saying that who's the healer? It's not time. It's not rest. It's not a break. It's not a place of apathy where we don't care. It's not this place of, well, you know what? I'll let it be somebody else's problem. Right? No, it's Jesus. Right? It's back to Christ, and it's what we talked about earlier. Letting Him know, what are your worries? What are your anxieties? What are your fears? What are these things that weigh you down? Because He is the answer. You cannot and will not be tired and careless if you're connected to Jesus in the way you should be. Okay? We are so easily deceived by ourselves. Right? It's why there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Because we can tell ourselves the things that we know we need to hear to feel better. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors because you know what? There's a lot of times that we're wrong. There's a lot of times that we are speaking out of the flesh and not out of the spirit. That we, yes, we may have read our Bible just now. It doesn't mean that spiritually that we're really in Christ in the way that we ought to be. Okay, this happens. We've got to be on guard against this. That's a false peace. Don't let carelessness and apathy fool you into believing you're operating in peace. So what does the peace of God look like? What is the real deal? What is it that we are desiring the Holy Spirit to produce in our lives? And He is producing it. If you're a born-again believer, He is producing this in your life. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, peace with God. This is the most important thing. When it comes to peace, it's not about feeling good. It's about being in the right position. It's about the fact that we have peace with God, right? When we choose to follow Jesus, when we make that decision that yes, Jesus is Lord of my life, he is my Savior, and we have that relationship with him, it was once in trouble, right? It was once a relationship that was severed, that was not in good standing, and bam, instantly, it's restored. Okay, instantly. This breach that our sin has removed, this friendship is gone. The breach has been covered, it's restored, and now, just what we were singing about earlier today, you're a friend of God. And praise God, this is where peace begins. This is the most important aspect of peace. This is the peace that is spiritually induced. It's not about a feeling. It's not about emotion. This is a spiritual position that we have. You know why this peace is a peace that surpasses all understanding? Because it's spiritual. It's a spiritual peace. It's not just about feeling right. It's above and beyond every way and thought of man. It doesn't make sense to us because it's a greater satisfaction than just being free of trouble. And don't get me wrong, being free of trouble is great. But if you're free of trouble, look around the corner. It's coming, right? That's this life that we live. That's this world that we live in. But this peace is greater than just the satisfaction of being free of trouble. It's the satisfaction of a heart that was created to be at peace with God, that has peace restored. That it has peace restored, and now your heart is connected with the heart of God. And now, finally, you're able to rest from the searching, from the grasping of things of this world, of the false peace in this world. And instead of just having the appearance of peace, you can have the peace that satisfies your heart and your soul. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Anybody want to stay in peace? Right? It's really easy. First of all, you don't keep yourself there. God keeps you there. That's what his word tells us. He will keep you there if your mind is stayed on him and if you trust him. Does anybody in here trust God today? Right? If our mind is stayed on him and if we trust him, he will keep us in that peace. Right? This is peace completed. Right? The burden of sin removed. This is the heart at rest in Christ. Individual peace is desperately needed in our lives. Of all the things we deal with, all the troubles, all the cares, all the frustrations, all these things, it comes down to one thing at the end of the day when you lay your head down on that pillow, whether you can go to sleep or not go to sleep. Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with God? Because if you are, all that other stuff is temporary. Say, it's temporary. Right? All those other things, if you give them to him, he will work in those situations. Trust him. Right? Get our minds stayed on him. Okay. Life is terrible. I have all these things going on. No. Jesus. Here's what I got going on in my life. Here's what worries me. Here's what troubles me. Here's what I'm anxious about. Here's what I'm fearful about. Lord, will you help me? Will you take it? Will you take this burden from me? And he says, yes, I will. Your mind is stayed on me. Do you trust me? Right? That's the second part. Do you actually trust him to take those things and to work in those situations? Because I'll tell you, there's times where we say that we do with our lips, but with our heart, we don't. There's times where we say, God, I give you this burden. But then, how long is it till we're checking in? So, remember, God, when I gave you that burden? I'm still kind of dealing with it. it's still troubling to me. When are you going to do something? Do you trust him? Because if you do, then you can tell him if it's still troubling your heart. But listen, don't you accuse God of not working on the right timeline. Right? That's a selfish thing, and it's a hard thing to understand, and I've been there and done that. But we give it to him, we keep our mind fixed on him, and then we have to trust him. Do you know there's a lot more things in motion than just your life? Right? That's a really hard thing to remember. But sometimes God has to work in the situation, right? And it takes time because he's working on another heart. Maybe your heart gave it to him. Maybe your heart is like, okay, God, I'm giving this to you and I'm trusting in you. But you know what? If there's other people in the situation, they may not have. Maybe they don't realize it yet. Give God time to work. So keep your mind stayed on him and then trust him to work in it. And we need this individual peace. It's necessary for the body of Christ to have individual peace because there's another step here. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is back to us individually. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also an additional thing, you were called in one body. Say one body. And be thankful. Man, how many of you guys are thankful for the body? All of it? Okay, now everybody's hand went down. I had this thought yesterday that, do you know that everybody that is a believer, everyone who has truly been changed, truly been transformed, that they are a new creation in Christ? Do you know that you are bound to that person for eternity? You're bound to that person for eternity. You and they are one body in Christ. That's not a temporary relationship. It doesn't mean that you're going to like all of them. It doesn't mean you're going to be thankful for all of them. But I tell you what, you're bound with them together. You better learn to get along. We got to learn to have peace. We got to learn to have peace first for myself and then now corporately in the body. And this isn't just in this church with the people sitting in these pews. It's the church down the road too. We've got to learn to operate in peace as one body. So it starts with you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And then when there's conflict among believers, what do we have to do? We have to let the peace of God step in, right? We have to let the peace of God step in. It's so easy to want to fix things ourselves, but we've got to let the peace of God step in. It starts with us experiencing that peace for ourselves, because you know what? This is not a supernatural power that pushes us to the side and takes over. That's not how peace works when it's going to a corporate level. When it's going to peace between people, God does not say, okay, you know, me and Marissa are having a beef. God doesn't say, okay, Marissa, you sit over there and Tim, you sit over there and I'll fix it. That's not how he works. He says, okay, do you have the peace of God? Yes. Do you have the peace of God? Yes. Okay, get together and fix your problem. That's how it works when it comes to peace on a corporate level and a peace between people. We have the peace. We have it produced in us by the Holy Spirit. And it's up to us to make the choice. Say, make the choice. Okay, you have to make the choice to settle differences so that peace is maintained in the body. We have to make the choice. It's really easy to just keep complaining to God. And I think that there's times where he's like, I've given you my peace. Now go make the choice. Go make the choice. Go take care of it. And you know what? When it comes down to it, the peace of God is still the umpire, right? The peace of God is still the one that is in charge, that is the judge, that's calling the shots in this situation. We've got to be willing to do what's right according to his view. We are called to one body, and we are to be thankful for that. We're to be thankful for that. Thankful for the body of Christ. I've heard over and over and over, right? I'm in the Minister Alliance here and in the FCA with other ministers and reading stuff online. Over and over and over, people talk about how easy the ministry would be if you didn't have to deal with people, right? I mean, and you guys can say the same things for the church. How easy would church be if I didn't have to deal with all the people? If you didn't have all the people, we wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't be a body. You'd just be a random part laying around. We've got to be thankful that God has put us in a body that is supposed to work together and be united, joined together, whether we like it or not. Whether we like it or not. We could have people come through these doors that sound or look an awful lot like the people that Cheryl described that she ran into in New York. You know that all it takes is for one moment for the Spirit of God to change their heart and they could look exactly the same. They might even still sound exactly the same. They might even still do a lot of the things that they did when they came in here. And do you know that at that instant, they are just as much a part of the body as you are? It kind of goes with what she was talking about being compassionate and remembering when you look in someone's eyes, you'll never look in someone's eyes that God doesn't love. That's true. And that when someone is saved, they're just as much a part of the body as what you are, right? We've got to be thankful for the body. It gives us a sense of belonging and a sense of community in our lives. So peace is not something that is hoped for in the church. Don't hope for peace in the body. Be the peace in the body, right? This is something the Spirit produces, but then the people choose to operate in it, okay? Where peace is lacking, the Spirit is missing, okay? That's just the way it is, because we begin to work out of the flesh. Working together as the body of Christ is guaranteed when the presence of the Spirit is there, and it should be the goal of every believer, amen? Right. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This picture of peace, it kind of can be summed up in the expression of having it all together. Right? When we have peace, it should kind of be like having it all together. Everything in its place. Everything as it ought to be. When things are disjointed, we see that there's a lack of harmony in the body. There's a lack of well-being. But when things are joined together, there is harmony. There is well-being. There is fruit being produced. And the Spirit produces peace. But we have that responsibility, again, to bring it forth. So how do we choose to operate in peace? Just a couple of things in closing. First of all, it goes back to that trust. Do we trust the Lord? It starts there. That's where the peace starts as far as operating in peace. Do we trust the Lord? When we trust him, we believe that he's with us. We have to believe that he will protect us. We have to believe that he knows what's best for us and that he will work all things together for our good if we love him, right? We have to know that perfect peace is not in the constant changing human opinion, but it's in Jesus Christ, the rock, the unchanging one. That's where it's at. We've got to know that. We've got to trust him in that. We've got to also believe the scriptures, believe what the word says. So many times we don't have peace because we know what the word says, but we don't believe it in our hearts. We may not believe that we're saved. We may be going back to, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. What does the word of God say? Have you confessed with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has risen him from the dead? Have you placed your faith in him? If you have, you shall be saved. It's a done deal. You don't have to worry about it anymore. What about the body? We think about, man, the body is a blessing from God. The body is... you could not do it on your own. It's not possible. It's not possible. God gave us a body so that we could operate together to be effective. We got to remember these things that the word tells us, because it's truth, right? It's truth, and it's not based on our circumstances. When God says it's so, it is so, right? It doesn't matter what the enemy tells us. It doesn't matter how we feel. The word is truth. Take peace in knowing that it will always be true, and there's nothing that you can do to change it. That gives you peace. It's constant. It's unchanging. And then prayer and thanksgiving. And this is where this crazy peace comes from that doesn't make sense. Remember, it came back from that prayer and thanksgiving. And then we receive it. It's a pretty easy thing. Remember what God has done. Start with thanksgiving. Remember what God has done for you. Remember how amazing he is. And you know what? That's got to give you peace knowing that, man, my God, he's really something. And all this stuff that I'm dealing with, it's temporary. Right? It brings you right back to peace, remembering who he is and how thankful you are for what he has done in your life. Knowing his power and his willingness. Right? Sometimes I think that we know the power of God and we're like, but is he willing? Like, will he do that for me? Yes, he will. He's done things in your past, partially to remind you what he can do right now in your present and in your future. Don't sell God short. We're talking about a God that we can have peace in knowing we can petition him for anything. And in many situations that we find ourselves powerless, we got to remember that he is still powerful, right? We may not have the power to get through it, but he has the power to overcome it. And how peaceful to know we can submit all those cares, all those troubles, all those problems to him. Jesus, the one who can and will do what's best for you simply because he loves you. Man, that's peace right there. That's peace wrapped up. That God knows what you need. He has the power to provide it. He's willing to provide it. And he will provide it just based on the fact that he loves you and that he requires nothing for it. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Take this verse with you. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. If you would stand to your feet in this place. We're going to close out in a song of worship, but I want to pray. Father, we just pray and we thank you for this word right here. We thank you for this verse right here in 2 Thessalonians that the Lord of peace himself give us peace always in every way. So we ask for that right now. Lord, we ask for the people in this congregation, Lord, that you would give us peace in every way. Lord, we don't want just peace in the trials and the things that are heavy on our hearts. But Lord, in every way we can have peace, we want it because we know that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit produces in us, and that that peace ultimately is rooted in Christ. So we want it all. We want it to the fullness. Lord, we ask that you hold nothing back, but that you pour out that peace upon your church, upon your body, in every way. And Lord, that you will be with us all. Lord, we don't just need to get along as people. Lord, that can only get us so far if we're not carriers of your presence. That can only get us so far if we don't first have peace with you and that we don't trust you. So Lord, we just ask today for a downpouring of your peace upon this body. Lord, that we will operate in a place of perfect unity. Lord, perfect unity is not having the same thoughts. It's about having the same passion, and that is serving Jesus Christ with our lives. And so Lord, we ask for that today. Lord, we ask that today as we go out from this place that you would lead us, that you would come behind us, that you would come alongside us, and that today that we could do great things for your glory. I ask that today that you give us divine appointments as we walk out of this place. I pray that you would use us, Lord. Let us not just go from here to lunch and to the next thing that we have going on, but Lord, that you would interrupt our schedule. That you would use us to minister to people, to show them the love of Christ, and to introduce them to the Prince of Peace. We thank you, we praise you, and ask you to have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.